Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Dan Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, Andrew Tay's father, Lante, is here. When your son throws a no-hitter, you are now known as person's father.
That's fair.
Other than your previous designation. Good to have you back.
Thank you. That seemed like 7 weeks ago. We were in Kansas City from Wednesday until 2 a.m. last night, and I swear to you, that seemed like 8 weeks ago that he threw that on Thursday. Threw well. Thank you. Appreciate you giving him the shout-out.
No doubt.
Not only that, but our guy, Merez Johnson, was in our hotel. How about that? The whole Mean Streets crew was there. If I would have known what they look like. Now, I know who Merez is. I said hi to him and told him, hey, I can't wait to watch you at Illinois, etc. But I didn't know the other guys. And then I read your story the next morning about a lefty from Indianapolis that is someone they're looking at. I don't think I was that a pay. Did I just give out information?
No, you're good.
Okay. But and then I'm like, I didn't know which one that was, so I couldn't say hi. So all of our guys on our 16U team were like, that's Merez Johnson.
He's hard to miss.
Right. And then my mom, who had no idea. The next morning had been she was at breakfast, and so we're getting ready to leave for the 8 a.m. game, and she's like, the tallest kid just walked in, and I'm like, yeah, he's coming to Illinois to play basketball. You're kidding me. So we all got to say hi to Merez, because mom was like, I think you guys get taller every day. That's what she said, and he's like, yeah, I know. What is he, 6'8"?
He's 6'9", probably.
6'9". She was thinking like 7'1". I'm like, you're off a little bit. But mom's, she'll say she's shrinking. So maybe Merez looks 7'1 to mom. But yeah, it was really cool. We didn't realize he was in Kansas City, and the whole crew was in Kansas City. And wouldn't you know that we just happened, the Decatur Commodores and the Mean Streets just happened to stay at the same hotel.
Linking up together.
Right, exactly. It was awesome, though. But yeah, good trip to Kansas City. Went to the World War One Museum. Went to the Negro Baseball Museum, which was really cool. The thing about that was we did them back-to-back. So a lot of information to process, right? So we go to the World War One Museum, and it's more visual, right? You're seeing like bayonets they used, rifles they used, you know, just different stuff. I didn't realize, I had forgotten, I guess, that America joined that war in the last year. Like, we were the closer. We came in and closed World War One, right? So then we went to the Negro Baseball Museum, and there's so much, it's visual, but there's so much writing. There's just paragraph different. And Andrew looks at me about halfway in, and he's like, I can't read anymore. And I'm like, I agree. So I tried to kind of focus on, you know, the Satchel Paige, the Buck O'Neill, guys like that, you know, that obviously Jackie Robinson and such. So I just kind of tried to learn more about them, and it's just so interesting. It was really cool. And then a horrible storm went through Kansas City while we were in the museum. So we got stuck in there for like an hour. And I'm like, what is it with storms these days? What happened to a nice thunderstorm with lightning and some rain that you slept through? Now you get 80-mile-an-hour winds and hail and, you know, trees down, et cetera. But good trip. Andrew did pitch well, played pretty well. Can't hit. Well, this weekend he couldn't hit. But other than that,
we should have had you on Friday to recap the no-no.
We should
have had him on, maybe.
I was going to say.
I don't know how he would have felt about that.
Well, you know Andrew. He'd say five words. Thanks.
We've had some of those in the past.
Thanks. Yeah, that's about all you're getting out of him. But, yeah, I tell you what, he's really starting to – a year ago, he couldn't consistently throw a strike, and now he's consistently throwing strikes. He's in the low to mid-80s, and he's just pitching well. I'm really proud of him. He's got one more start that'll be this week, and then baseball's done for a while, and he gets to kind of relax for like 3 days. I think. And then golf starts. Golf should be fun, though, because admittedly.
Is he playing for the high school team?
He's going to play. Sweet. I don't know if he's going to make the varsity, though. I mean, the kid just literally started golfing like a month ago. He's like, what the heck? I want to play golf. I'm like, oh, now you're a golfer. Great. So we'll see.
You've always ragged on those dudes that can do everything.
I know. I did,
and
right.
Plus, you mentioned he gets a lot of comments. Man, I love your hair.
Oh. It's
like he's got everything going for him.
Everybody, every mom on the travel baseball team wants his hair. They all want his hair. They're like, if we could have your hair. And of course dad is sitting there going, why don't you cut that crap? So I think that's supposed to happen here in the next couple of days. That stuff's going to get cut, which it needs to be done. But yeah, other than that, all's good.
Last question on the no hitter front. Were you on no hitter watch the entire, maybe not the entire time, but at what point? And then what was your, you had to be nervous.
I was a little nervous, and I am the geek dad that, and I'm seriously the only dad that does this. But when he pitches, I keep track of inning. I don't keep track of number of pitches, but I, you know, if the first guy grounds out to short, I just do a 6-3. I keep essentially keep a scorebook in a little notepad that I keep with me. And so about after the, I think it was after the third, I think he had maybe an out in the fourth, and I look down and I'm like, crap, he doesn't have any, there's no hits and no walks, and he promptly walks the next guy. And I'm like, all right, put it up and just don't even look at it again. So I got a little nervous, but he just kind of went out there. And of course, with every no-hitter, and I'm watching the Nolan Ryan thing on Netflix right now, which is really cool. I would recommend you watch it. Not as much as like the golf thing that I've told you to watch.
I still need to watch.
Yeah,
I know there's a new quarterback series that everybody's raving about.
You can't download that. You got to literally sit down and watch it, I guess. So, but anyway, long story short, the Nolan thing was pretty cool. And one of the guys that was talking about one of Nolan's seven no-hitters or whatever said, with every no-hitter comes a great play. And it's true. And our shortstop that game, who's a Mount Zion kid, made a wonderful play on a ball. And at the time, you didn't think about it. But when you look back, it was like the second inning. Probably saved a hit, probably saved the no-hitter. So it was pretty
awesome.
So his defense was good. He's got a good defense. That's a good team. It's a good baseball team, and they've all kind of gelled. It's cool. The best part of the weekend was, even though I hated it because I was ready to get home, but we had an 8 a.m. game yesterday. Played it, got to the top of the third. Here comes the rain. Here comes the lightning. And every time you see a lightning, it's 30-minute delay. So you'd see lightning, you'd wait 10, another one. You're like, oh, here comes another 30. Oh, here comes another. So the lightning was way off in the distance, right? It's not above us. So all of our kids and the kids from another team in Kansas City, they don't know each other from Adam, they're out playing golf on the baseball field with bats and balls. Like you had to pick a spot out and you got to hit your baseball towards it. And then they started like making up games. Like they were inventing games. Then all of them put on the catcher's gear and saw how quick they could throw the ball to second. And one of the moms looked at me and she said, isn't this funny? They're literally like playing. They're like six-year-olds when we were 6 years old and were just outside playing and making things up. It was cute to see. I'm not kidding. And I was visiting with some of the dads from the Kansas City team. We were talking about stuff. And I'm like, look what these goofballs are doing now. You know, and they just all were getting along, didn't know anybody. You know, they didn't know them from anything. And they're just having a blast on the field. I thought that was cool. Bunch of 16-year-old kids just having fun.
That is cool. I mean, you see that even at the, like, college and minor league level, like during rain delays, they're out there
sliding on the thing.
I don't know what's it called when you get the you're on the horse and you got the armor and the long. It's not jousting, but it's
jousting.
Is it jousting?
Yes, yeah, you called it, you nailed it.
It is
so
jousting.
That's what they're doing out there. I agree. And if it would have been later in the day, all the dads would have been hanging around just drinking a beer. Yeah, but it was early, so we were having a water and just visiting. So it was cool though. First time I've ever been to Kansas City. Not a bad drive, about 6 hours. So, and gas a lot cheaper. Roads are a lot nicer.
Barbecue?
In Missouri. I did eat barbecue. I ate barbecue three times.
So, you have to.
I had ribs twice, and I had a barbecue chicken which was really good. And then the prized pizza place of Kansas City we went, and it was really good. So, yeah, it was just a good trip that literally seemed like we were there for 4 weeks. So I'm glad to be home. I was ready to get home, ready to get to the office, I guess, and really ready to get back here because what happened when I was gone? Did the Cardinals really DFA Genesis Cabrera?
They did.
Did that happen today? Why would you do that? Is Mazalok tearing this down and then going to go work for a rival?
I'd be cool with that. I mean, sounds good to me.
I think that's what he's doing. I think he's tearing it down, and he's going to be the Cubs, like, president of baseball here next year.
Kyle, you can have him. If tearing it down and him exiting stage left is his plan, I'm all good with it. Right. I don't care where he goes next.
I just read this. Bill said, Lon, you should have told your mom that Merez was pitching against Andrew's team that day. Yeah, that would have been like, we got to face him. Yeah, no, back to the Cardinals. I apologize. Yeah, I don't know.
They won 2 out of 3 this weekend, but it's pretty meaningless. Yeah. You're still sitting there, way there at the bottom of the division. Mozeliak, we did play. He had I said going into his candid interview, he gave some frustrating answers, but he did say flat out, we're going to trade people. It's not going to be our year. We're going to go into the trade deadline, approaching it as in we're building for our 2024 squad. So, got about 2 weeks until that August 1st deadline and some moves to be made. We'll see how significant they actually are. I have no expectation it's going to be Goldie or Nato on the move, but maybe a Nolan Gorman. There's been a lot of speculation. Twitter is pretty consistent that the Cardinals are getting one of those starters from the Mariners. I don't know if that's going to happen, but maybe it's going to be Logan Gilbert for Gorman and another piece.
To
go there to Seattle, kind of because their strength is pitching.
Yeah.
Cardinals have some bats, and they need to bolster that rotation, obviously.
It does seem like, because I know Derek Gould had written a report about Logan Gilbert as well, but it does seem like Seattle, or I still think the White Sox would be a good marriage with the Cardinals. I mean, with Giolito, with Cease, I know you'd love to have him.
It would cost a lot.
It would cost a lot, but I don't know. I'm getting to the point now where I'm ready to if you can give me 5 guys to get rid of, you know. But I
came up with an Ohtani trade.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but.
What, let's hear it.
It was Gorman, Tink Hentz, Mason Winn, and either Brendan Donovan or, I don't know, some other either major league ready piece or another top prospect, and that's kind of your baseline for the deal.
That's a lot for not knowing you're going to sign him.
It'd be a
risk. And he's certainly not one of those guys the Cardinals, they don't ever spend that much money, right?
You're going to pay $500 million.
That doesn't even sound right. That doesn't even sound right. $500 million for a contract. I mean, you know the Cardinals aren't paying $500 million for a player. But I like the idea that you came
up with. There haven't been very many players like him.
No, you're right. But to only get him for a half a year.
Well, yeah, for a half a year in which you're not competitive. I don't know how Shohei would view that.
Of course, maybe Mazalok does that if he's truly on his way out the door and just burning things down.
I'd like to see him try.
Yeah, just and in 20 years when we're sitting there talking to our grandkids, we're like, yeah, we had this Shohei Ohtani for 3 months. Dad, isn't he the best? Or Grandpa, isn't he the best player ever? Well, he ended up being the best player ever, and we had him for 3 months.
He made 7 starts with the Cardinals and hit a lot at DH.
Why did we get rid of him? Well, economics of baseball. He only wanted $500 million? Think about it in 20 years. Right. You could have had him for $500 million? Yep, I know. I know guys today are making $2.1 billion a year, but back then that was a lot of money, so we just decided not to pay him. I mean, how weird is that? Can you imagine Stan Musial back in the day knowing that guys make $35 million a year?
No. I mean, definitely not.
I just can't. It's so hard to fathom like what those guys, when they think of what guys are making today. Now, obviously, you know, teams are more expensive, tickets are more expensive, et cetera.
But didn't people freak out like in the mid to late 90s when it was starting to – free agency was starting to blow up. And a guy's going to get over $1 million bucks a year? What?
Nolan Ryan was the first, according to the Netflix, Nolan Ryan report or story, whatever it is, he was the first athlete to make $1 million in a year. So, and I can remember the Sports Illustrated came out when Ozzie Smith made a million. And it was like they had a picture of the Wizard. I think it said the Wizard of Oz or something, is going to make $1 million. And I was probably like in eighth grade. I don't even know how old I would have been, but I was like, $1 million. Now you're Andrew Kisner makes that to hit 184.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Kyle, your Cubs lost 2-3 to the Red Sox. Cubbies third in the division, 8 out. How you feeling? Not too good.
Hi, Kyle.
Every time it seems like they need it's been for the last month, it's been, all right, you better get hot now or we're going to start selling guys off and it's not going to be good. And then they just don't do it. It's just so frustrating. They'll win a series and they'll lose. They'll win a series and they'll lose a series.
What happened to Stroman? Like, I saw, I couldn't listen to it, but I Lucas and I were split in a hotel room, and his time to get up is a lot different than mine. I'll put it that way. So I was watching Twitter on silence, and it was something about Marcus Stroman talks about his plans with the Cubs. Is it more of the same, or did something happen?
More of the same.
Okay.
They just asked him about the deadline. He's like, well, that's out of my control. I'd love to stay.
Okay.
Same old stuff that's happened the last 3 years.
Who's going to cry and hug in the Cubs dugout this year and then not get traded?
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Is it going to be a Stroman-Bellinger hug? Is that going to work, even though they've been there for 1 year and a year and a half? I don't know if it's going to be the same thing as Contreras, who'd been there for 8 years.
And why do we have to wait to the last day for everything to happen on trades? Why can't something happen today?
Don't know.
I guess the smart person would tell you, well, you're holding out. You're holding out to see what happens. Maybe there's another team that all of a sudden has come into the playoff picture that now they're going to be, and you'd get more. I totally get that.
Or someone falls out. Like, the Angels could realize that. I think they lost 2-3 to the Astros over the weekend. Mm. They're 9 out of their division, which they're not going to win because they got Texas and Houston to catch.
Right.
6 out of the wild card, but maybe in 2 weeks that's 11 out,
yeah,
12 out
true.
Of the wild card, potentially.
So it makes sense. I get that. But it is funny how you wait, you wait, you wait, you anticipate, you get excited, especially the years that you're buying. And then in a matter of like 5 hours, it's like, you know, oh, this happened. Hey, this guy, and it's like, oh my goodness. But no, it makes total sense because you're waiting for the best offer. You're waiting to see who's going to be in, who's going to be out, who's selling, et cetera. So I don't know. I do want to ask you, and then we can jump back to the Cubs. I do want to ask you, like, are there a – Walker, obviously, is untouchable, right? Jordan Walker.
Yes.
Is Lars Nootbaar untouchable for you?
No.
Same here. And they act like he is.
They did in the offseason when Pablo Lopez was on the table for the Marlins.
Right. I don't understand the Lars Nootbaar thing, I guess. I don't know. I don't share the same thoughts on him that management of the Cardinals and a lot of Cardinals fans share. They're like, well, I would never get rid of him. I'm like,
well, we had to.
Is he that good?
Once we took the inflated crown off of Dylan Carlson's head from the trade deadline last year, we had to put it on somebody else's. Now it's Lars Nootbaar that's wearing it.
So now that makes sense, now that you've explained it like that. Is Goldie and Arenado untouchable for you?
Probably.
They are for me.
Probably.
Because we all know the Cardinals have acted as an organization where they don't tank, right? They just always try to stay competitive. This year has been a horrible thing to watch and witness. I am fine with keeping Arenado and Goldie and hoping that this year is just one of the craziest outliers that any team has ever gone through in the history of Major League Baseball. I am completely fine with that with regards to knowing. I mean, the Cardinals' offense is still pretty strong. And I know that Lars has a lot to do with that as well, and I totally get that. And while I like your Ohtani idea, I do not want to watch Paul DeJong play short anymore. And it's not – I hate that I hate him. Does that make sense? I hate that I dislike Paul DeJong. I just really like Mason Winn. And every time I pull up the Post-Dispatch, there's another story from, you know, the minors, and it's Mason Winn hitting another three-run homer or having another three-hit day. and the kid is electrifying. He's exactly what this organization needs. This organization needs a spark. Like, Jordan Walker should be that guy, but I don't feel like he's... Jordan seems to me like a quiet dude that's just going to go about his business like Paul Goldschmidt. I feel like you need a Mason Winn. Come up, steal some bases, make a couple of, like, almost like Baez did for the Cubbies, where he kind of gave him a shot of, you know, just some excitement. I feel like Mason Winn could do that. So I'm all about keeping Arenado, keeping Goldie. I guess keep Nootbaar, but he wouldn't be off the table for me. The guy that confuses me is Nolan Gorman. Like, he reminds me of, like, Jeff Kent from the left side. And if he turns out to be Jeff Kent from the left side, then you just got rid of a possible Hall of Famer.
So Jeff Kent was like a perennial all-star.
All the time.
25, 30 home run guy.
He's not a Hall of Famer, is he?
I don't think so.
Can we effort that one? Kyle, I haven't asked you that for a while. Jeff
His
Kent.
Mustache might be in the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, that definitely. And I met him at a Starbucks one time at Union Station in St. Louis, which kind of makes it a little cooler.
He is not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. But can you bring up his career stats? Like, Jeff Kent was, for so many years on those San Francisco Giants team, he was a thorn in the National League side, and he could hit for homers. And that's how I've kind of always seen Nolan Gorman. I never saw Jeff Kent as some spectacular second baseman, but yet – he could just bomb home runs, and he was a good hitter and a good player, obviously. So that's why I'm torn with Nolan Gorman. Like, I feel like he keeps getting a little better each year.
Still streaky, though.
He's very streaky.
Still has stretches where he's red hot and bombing it, and then he'll go a month hitting like 180 and striking out a bunch.
But is he the guy that if Arenado and Goldie have the kind of year they can, and Jordan Walker has a good year, and maybe you get Tyler O'Neill back. What, is he just ice fishing in Newfoundland right now? Like, where's he at? Like, but then if you get some pitching and you can afford a guy like Nolan Gorman to be streaky, then all of a sudden when he's really right, you might be winning 7 games in a row.
That's true.
And when he's not right, maybe you're only winning 4 of those 7, but everybody else is kind of picking up the steam. I just feel like, I don't know, there's part of me that doesn't want to get rid of him.
I think that's the argument to not blow it up, because this lineup still should be pretty productive.
Agree.
Like, run it back another year, and you're having a second-year Jordan Walker in the majors.
Yes.
Potentially, you have Mason Winn starting at shortstop. Gorman with the power. I know he's still pretty young, so while I talk about him being streaky, not that he can't figure it out and be more consistent. And then you have Goldie. You've got Nato. Hopefully, Contreras lives up to his $18 million a year. And he's an offensively geared catcher anyway. There should be enough meat in that order. Then maybe go out and get an outfielder.
Amen. Finally.
And you have a lot of answers in your lineup.
Yes, you do.
But Gorman, I understand if you're trading it for a need, which is starting pitching, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, and you just said it right there. You're going to have to get rid of somebody to get somebody. And that's why you probably – Nolan Gorman fits right in that spot, doesn't he? He's not untouchable.
He's attractive enough.
Very attractive in terms to other teams to say, hey, if we bring him here, he could hit 30 bombs one day for 3 or 4 years in a row. So I get it. I get it. But, yeah, Dan said keep Nootbaar or Donovan. I tell you what.
I like Donovan a lot.
I do too. He does a little of everything. And I know he's on a tear right now, so that helps. Like, his rating, it looks a little better right now maybe than Lars, but – and I like Lars. It's not like I don't like him. Is he like a 280 kind of hitter? Plays good defense, gets on base. But man, Brendan Donovan does a lot of things, including
he can play
a lot
of different places.
Yes. So I don't know. I would.
I'd probably lean Donovan.
I think I would too.
The problem is the outfield is just so thin.
You're right. Because you. Yeah, good call, Brian. Kent was should be in the Hall of Fame, but he wasn't liked by the media much. That is true. I don't think – he was very quiet, I think. Kind of a quiet guy and just kind of kept to himself. But, yeah, I mean, you have to strengthen that outfield. We've been trying to strengthen it for a decade. And if Lars Nootbaar is your guy, who we thought Harrison Bader was our guy, but, of course, you got rid of him to get Jordan Montgomery. And, by the way, can you not re-sign him?
Montgomery?
Isn't he who you're looking for next year?
I think on a good team, he's in the middle of the rotation type of guy.
So I guess it depends on free agent-wise who you can go get. Who's the dude from the Dodgers? Urias?
Urias, yep.
Urias.
Is well, he a I'd like to have Montgomery. I mean, if you can go out and get two starters and then have Montgomery as your third.
And Miles?
Miles in there.
I agree.
Miles, again, ideally, especially how he's pitched this year, looks like a middle-of-the-rotation type of guy, too.
And Flaherty's feeling it.
Yeah, he needs to get out of here.
I mean, he's gotten really good right now to where you can his trade value's up. And you
just trade him for whatever you can get.
Exactly. You move on from him. And I know a lot of people are probably – well, maybe not. Maybe some people are thinking, why would you – you need pitching. You've got Jack Flaherty who could be this. But I think I've seen enough of it to know that he's not going to be this.
Done holding my breath on that one.
He's at least – I give him credit. He's not Alex Reyes, and he's hurt every season except for one. So I do give Flaherty credit for that. But there's just too much with him. There's just too much. He throws 500 pitches by the time the fifth inning rolls around. Speaking of that, Lance Lynn is a free agent.
Ooh, he's had a brutal year.
He really has. Why'd they ever get rid of him?
I don't know. I mean, I think that traditionally the Cardinals have always had, as mm-hmm. we've talked about a number of times here recently, starting pitching depth that if they needed to shell out a starter to get some help, particularly in that order – I don't know. Did they trade him or did he just not re-sign? I can't remember. I
thought that he didn't re-sign.
Okay.
I thought that was the case, but I could be wrong.
He went to Texas after that, I think?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And then now with the White Sox. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you give him – the guy could – he took the ball every fifth day. Took him 200 pitches to get to the fifth inning, but he took the ball every every fifth day. And there's something to that. And
that's
he would
some
usually,
good seasons.
He would usually keep you in games, but Lance Lynn's probably getting up. He's probably getting up there.
I do have your answer about Jeff Kent.
Oh.
So he won the MVP in 2000.
Does Kyle no longer do this stuff?
I don't know.
Because he literally, since I asked, he hadn't even talked.
I didn't know if he forgot.
Maybe he forgot. Yeah.
I just decided to do it. I like the left-handed typing. I impress myself anytime I do
it. I'm impressed by that. Kyle, can you type left-handed?
Absolutely not.
Okay. It is pretty impressive what Pipes can do.
So from 97 through 05... he had stretches with the Giants, the Astros.
Oh, I forgot he was with Astros the Astros. That's right.
Too. And then the Dodgers, before tailing off, you know, he played until he was 40. He was a consistent 25 to 30. His high in terms of home runs was 2002. He had 37 home runs.
Wow.
And had over 100 RBIs in, like, in a 10-year window, probably 8 of those.
Holy cow. That's a second baseman you're talking about.
And a career 290 hitter.
He's a Hall of Famer. That's pretty solid stuff.
It's a pretty good baseball card.
Right. Okay, he's on the baseball card Hall of Fame for sure. Wow. Back when second baseman, I'm sure there's probably still second baseman that get 100 ribbies. How many guys get 100 RBIs these days?
Good question.
Is it as much as it used to be, and why not? Like, why does it seem, and it's probably just me, that I don't pay attention. But it seemed like it used to be a lot of guys had 100 ribbies. And now, I don't, well, maybe, I don't, I'm probably speaking out one.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Benny says the Cardinals need to clean house in the front office starting with the GM.
That sounds great.
I mean, we don't even know the GM. Like, I've never heard Michael Gerst say more than 8 words.
We all know who the acting GM
Correct.
Guy behind the scenes is. It's John Mozeliak.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I don't know.
13 guys had 100 RBIs last year.
How many?
13.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
No. Pull up like 1998.
Yeah, right.
Watch, it'd be like goodness. 6.
Oh, my goodness. There'd be like 500 then. Brian said Jeff Kemp seemed to be quiet, but a friend of mine played with him, and he and several others say he's a bad teammate, not a nice person.
Hmm.
He did say hi to me in Starbucks. Because I'm like, that's got to be Jeff Kent. And, you know, Starbucks, do they still do – I don't go to Starbucks. Do they still write your first name on the cup?
I think so.
So I'm sitting there thinking, that's got to be Jeff Kent. And all of a sudden, they're like, Jeff. And he gets something. I'm like, that's got to be him, man. So I'm like –
no, he looks like he could be a NASCAR driver.
He has the – not Rusty Wallace. It was the Dale Earnhardt had that kind of – that mustache look. Yeah, there's no doubt. So I was like, hey, enjoy watching the play, Jeff. He goes, thank you. and he walked out. So I guess he was kind enough there. And by the way, Brian, if you had a friend that played with Jeff Kent, how come you're not setting him up for a guest? That'd be a nice guest. Is it Barry Bonds? Russ Springer?
Russ Springer.
Who are some of the Giants?
Oh, man.
Chili Davis?
Okay. I'm blanking on the names.
Matt Williams?
Matt Williams is a good call.
Good third baseman. Who was the catcher forever? Oh, my goodness.
Santiago? Benito Santiago?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Well, didn't he play with... Who was the catcher that is like many think should be in the Hall of Fame for the Giants?
Posey.
Yeah, Buster Posey.
Posey was, I think, after that.
Oh, okay.
I think
maybe
so.
He came after.
I'll have to look back at that. They're like in the 2002 World Series against the Angels.
Good call on that. How do you remember that?
I don't know.
Why are our minds so weird?
Useless things that I remember.
Somebody wants to get rid of Contreras.
I don't know how you're going to.
I don't think anybody wants that money. I don't think anybody wants that. You still owe him, what, 60 mil?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants that.
All right, so 2002, they went to the World Series. Benito Santiago was the catcher.
That was a good call.
JT Snow,
oh!
First baseman, Jeff Kent, Rich Aurelia, David Bell, Barry Bonds, Reggie Sanders, Kenny Lofton.
Kenny Lofton?
Kenny Lofton's another one of those. He's not good. Quite Edwin Jackson, but right. His man cave would have a lot of different jerseys.
He went to a lot of places.
I forgot when we were going back a few weeks ago and saying the jersey segment that we had, Kenny Lofton was a Cub. I had forgotten that.
Oh, that's right. I did too. Who was the pitching staff on that team?
It was Levon Hernandez.
Oh, my goodness.
Russ Ortiz.
Russ Ortiz.
Jason Schmidt, Ryan Jensen, Kirk Reeder.
Kirk Lefty. Reeder. From Hoyleton, Illinois, down by Nashville, I interviewed him. He started out his career 13-0 and set a record for rookie left-handers in baseball. And I was doing TV in Southern Illinois, went over to Busch Stadium and did a story on him. And I interviewed Darren Fletcher from Oakwood. I'm sure Darren still remembers that. I was like, hey, you played against my brother in baseball. He's like, oh, that's cool. And then he's like, who is this guy? Can somebody escort this guy out of the... And that was with the Expos. So I think that they were with the Expos then. So I'm old enough that I interviewed an Expos player. Right now, Kyle's like, Expos? The hell are the Expos? Man, the Expos, you talk about a team that had a lot of Randy Johnson, Tim Rock Raines.
Oh, yeah.
You could go through a lot of Andre Dawson played for the Expos.
Pedro Martinez,
two of the best pitchers that in my lifetime. They had
Johnson was an Expo.
Mm-hmm. They had some really good players. They had a really good catcher, too. Gary Carter, right? Wasn't Gary Carter a catcher for the Expos?
Is that right?
I think.
Vladimir Guerrero.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And probably Kenny Lofton and Edwin Jackson.
Of course.
If we look back far enough, they probably played for them. Jason Schmidt was a good pitcher. That was a good Giants squad. Russ Ortiz. Russ Springer, I don't think he ever pitched for the he was a Cardinal pitcher, wasn't he? Pitched for the Rangers. I think I was thanking Russ Ortiz when I said Russ Springer, just in case anybody cares.
And they lost to the Angels that year, right?
Was that
the
Jimmy?
The Angels end up winning?
Was that
went to game seven. The Anaheim Angels won the World Series. 2002 World Series MVP, Troy Gloss.
They had an outfielder that could do it all. I believe a lefty.
Garrett Anderson?
No.
Darren Erstad.
I think that's who I'm thinking of. Really good. That was the year after they traded Edmonds, right? I think they traded Edmonds and won a World Series. And I always felt bad for Jim because he was a hell of a player. And then I always thought, oh, man, they traded Edmonds and then or they let him go. One of the two.
Traded him. Yeah.
Okay, they did trade him. And then he went on to win.
Kent Bottenfield?
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, he got traded to the Cardinals, right? Duh. And then he ended up winning a World Series with the Cardinals, which was cool. I mean, I know what everybody thinks. I mean, Edmonds has, like, really hurt his – I mean, his off-the-field reputation was interesting, if you know any of that. But in terms of his announcing, you know, he's really, I think, kind of hurt his thoughts from Cardinals fans. I think they remember that, that now before they think of how freaking good he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott, Tim Wallach. Oh, Delino DeShields. Yeah.
That's right.
Good call on that. That's a good call. Is Brian, is that the guy you know that you're going to set us up with or what? I'm kidding. Have you had this aimless talking
pretty
since
much.
I've been gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. I was listening to something else sports
football
related on the way.
Football can't get here long enough or quick enough, can it?
We have to start talking more football for sure. I saw someone tweet, I think it's 40 days until college football.
Oh, my goodness.
A little bit longer for the NFL, but NFL training camps will be starting up. But I was listening to a sports betting podcast and like, Summer League Championship is tonight for the NBA. I'm like, what? Is that where we're at? We're touting is the main thing to watch in sports tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Ken brought up Larry Walker. Good call. Man, the Expos they were loaded.
How were they not a dynasty?
I have no idea. They were so good. Can I bring up, speaking of Illinois football, I think my mom will laugh at this, but so my mom has had one knee replaced. And you need kind of a babysitter when you do that, right? I mean, she's a strong lady, but you do need people there to help you with medication and, you know, do different stuff. So she's going to get her second one done, and she's going to do it this fall. And so she says, well, does the fall work for you before Andrew starts basketball? And because I had said, would be nice if we got that done before basketball, right? I don't want her to miss games, and I don't want to miss games, obviously. I said, I'm okay with missing maybe a couple JV golf battles, you know. So she then says to me, how about this date? And the first thing I did was looked at the Illinois football schedule. Is that make me a bad son? Because I was like, is there any way you could do it this date? Because then I wouldn't miss the next two tailgates. And this is your mother. I don't think so. I don't either. And I'm like,
that's bad.
I said, do you think one of your friends, and, you know, she's got a nice group of friends that come over and do anything for her, you know, and they all do stuff for each other, which is cool. That's friends are the best, right, in life. But I said, do you think they could be here at like 7 a.m. on a Saturday and hang out till like 8 p.m.? So you know what she did? She had it originally scheduled to where I was then. It was like literally 3 days before the who do we host on? Oh, it's 3 days before the Penn State game. No, or 4 days before, which puts you directly in the you're not going anywhere on that fourth day, right? So I'm like, is there any way we could move it back or forward? So she found out she could move it like 2 weeks late to where then she does the surgery and then they're on the road the next week and not home until like 2 weeks, which gets me real close to that. We're in the clear kind of range.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad that I'm literally scheduling my mom's knee replacement around the Illinois football tailgates? How bad of a... Has everybody lost total respect for me now?
I'm not asking. No.
Okay. Or gained respect?
Maybe a little bit. We'll see. If your mom is walking around in pain around that Penn State game, then I might look at you a little sideways. And like, man, you probably should have had the surgery.
People are going to be seeing me out there partying and going, shouldn't you be home with your mother? Hey, you leave my family out of this.
She should probably be drinking, too, to get through this next 2 weeks.
I've never thought of that. I could load her up in a wheelchair, bring her out to the tailgate. I think that's a great idea.
That's perfect.
We could have grandma there.
There you go.
That's so funny.
There you go.
Everybody calls her grandma on the team. It's kind of cool, you know.
I like that.
There's a guy from Mount Zion that always comes. He's grandpa. And then my mom is grandma. So that's instead of trying to learn everybody's name, you know, of course, we all know the parents, but they're just like, hey, grandma, morning, grandma. It's just kind of funny. And she loves it. She takes it all in.
We're in the dead of summer, the dog days of summer, and we just went 40 minutes strong as an opening segment. I can hear our old producer, Trevor Felice, in my ear saying, you guys need to catch a break. So let's do that. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. When we come back, there was a sound clip that I want to play. John Heyman, who was on MLB Network, talking about Shohei Ohtani's possibilities to be traded. And one team that the Angels, at least people around the organization, have told him that there's no chance they'll trade him to this team. Let you know about that when we come back. This is The Drive.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Batteries.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Hi, I'm Steve with Restoration Urban Ministries, and we have a desperate need. We have a building that's coming down, and we have to put up another one. But we have you, and we have God on our side. So August the 12th, we are going to have at Hessel Park in Champaign, family, food, and fun. We're going to have 5 to 10 different church bands playing. We're going to have speakers. We're going to have testimonies. We're going to have food. We're going to have sausages and barbecue and corn on the cob, all kinds of summertime treats. And we're going to have a lot of fun going on. We have different games for the kids. So we're counting on you to come and join us and participate and help us raise money for a new building in Jesus' name. You can come and visit us at www.restorationurbanministries.org. Family, food, and fun at Hessel Park, August the 12th. We'll see you there.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
BC Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways Banking options at BC are designed with your goals in mind. BC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. The squad's all here. Not for long, but it is.
All right. One of us will figure out how to take tomorrow off. Bob said, your mom wants her son to be happy. So I appreciate that. I think that is true. That's all moms want.
Of course.
That's all moms want. Although she would like to quit limping. I think she may actually push aside the I want my son to be happy in this case and say, no, I want two healthy knees and then he can be happy. So it's good. That's a good play though, Bob. John said, if Lon's mom is at a tailgate, it's like a Weekend at Bernie's remake. Everyone walking by shaking their head. They're just staring at me. Nobody's talking to me. Hey guys. Oh, hey. How come nobody's talking to me today? That would be kind of... Then I just get stuck sitting by on a cooler by mom in her wheelchair. We're just chatting. Mom's like, this doesn't seem very fun. You always talk about how fun tailgates are.
I'd talk to you. I'll be out there.
I appreciate that.
I'll bring
that.
Kate out there.
Yes. Oh, that'd be perfect. He could sit on mom's lap.
Of course.
Of course, he's not sitting on laps
anymore. He's running everywhere.
I was going to say, he'd be covering, he'll be playing catch with Andrew soon.
Yeah. He's going to be a lefty.
That's awesome.
He's got a strong left arm. He actually took my wife's hair clip out of her hair. Ooh. And then got point blank range from me and whipped it went off my collarbone, and I...
What the heck was he ticked off about?
He was just showing me his arm.
Oh.
And I'd be lying if I didn't say ow or...
Did it really? Like,
oh, man, that hurt.
Nice.
So dude, I was proud, yet also proud in pain.
You got to mask that.
Yes.
That's a proud moment.
It was.
Did he rip out any hair of Haley's? I mean,
no,
that,
she was helping him get it out.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that might be, she might not be happy about that. Okay. I'm before I keep rambling about nothing, tell me about this John Heyman.
John Heyman, who works for the New York Post, also does some hits on MLB Network. He spoke about Shohei Ohtani, the possibility that he'll get traded at the deadline. The Angels, as we've talked about, they've only won 2 out of their last 10 games. They're sitting there 9 games back in the AL West, 8 games out of the AL wild card, not going in a positive direction, which they've been in the playoff picture for a good portion of the first half, but just dipped towards the end right before the All-Star break. And Kyle mentioned it last week. They've never gone to the postseason with Ohtani.
That's ridiculous.
And I think Trout played in one.
Yeah.
Wild card series.
And they went 0-3,
I think. They got swept.
Oh, my goodness.
So Trout's never won a playoff game. Mm. They've had Ohtani and Trout together. They've never been to the playoffs. And he's, of course, going to be due to be a free agent. So do you trade? Kyle and I just went over this while you were gone. And I maybe you can give your opinion real quick before we play the sound bite. If you're the Angels, do you trade him or you try to ride this out, make the postseason, and hold on to any glimmer of hope that he'll resign with you?
Because of what you've seen in the last decade, I trade him. I mean, I know you can't look at that if you're the management of the Angels, but you have to look at past history and say, if we keep him, it's not like we're going to the playoffs. We haven't been there yet with him. So I'm getting everything I can and sending him off with roses and whatever he needs to where at least you have a shot in free agency again to re-sign him. But he's not going back there, right?
Whether they keep him at the deadline and play this out, and baseball fans want to see the Angels in the playoffs. They want to see Ohtani starting a playoff game and him hitting some key moments. But even if they sneak into the postseason, no one's expecting them to go anywhere.
Can you imagine if they traded at the deadline Ohtani and Trout, and 2 years from now, they started a stretch where they made the playoffs 5 straight years? I mean, really?
It'd be hard to fathom.
But they can't figure out how to do it with two of the best players that have ever played the game.
They'd have a hell of a farm system if they traded those guys.
I mean, if you're an Angels fan at this point, you're just throwing your hands up saying, just trade them both and figure out, I don't know. It is weird. It's one of the weirdest things in my lifetime of watching a sports franchise have two of the best players I've ever seen and never win a playoff game. A game they haven't won. Mm-hmm. It is just weird to me. It makes no sense. I don't know. It makes no sense.
It'd be nice. I think that if I was a fan of the Angels, I'd probably want Mike Trout to be what's become one of those rare plays his entire year or entire career with one team, like a Yadier Molina, obviously like a Derek Jeter. So I think that you'd want that. But if Ohtani's gone, I mean, you're back in the same place you were before him with Trout and not a lot else.
And Trout's starting to show a little bit of age, isn't he?
Yeah. He is.
All right. He would be so fun with the Cardinals. I mean... You've been trying to add an outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna pay. How much do you have to? Well, we can look that up.
Kyle. Let's play this clip. John Heyman speaking about the chances that Ohtani gets dealt, and one team that he says the Angels definitely will not deal him to.
Interesting.
Here's the clip from today.
So I'm not ruling out the idea that he could actually keep him. I do think it is a long shot, and I think his baseball people probably understand that. Again, I said 5% to be traded. I think it's probably maybe 5 or 10% chance that they'll be able to keep him long term. Is that enough to not trade him? For me, looking from the outside, I'd say no. Logically, they should trade him. I'm sure without even asking, we know the baseball people are looking long term and certainly would recommend trading him. So I do believe that they will recommend a trade for Ohtani. I think it's now more than 5%. I would put it at closer to 25% that he could be traded from the Angels. Would they trade him to the Dodgers? No, the Dodgers, I spoke to somebody with the Dodgers. They realized he's not getting traded to the Dodgers. Even if you think that he could sign long-term with the Dodgers, you know, Artie Moreno's not going to do that. He may ultimately trade him, some chance, as I said, 25%. Do not see him being traded to the Dodgers. Long-term, I do think the Dodgers have an excellent chance, as do a lot of teams on the West Coast, San Francisco, San Diego. They'll all be in there pitching, and it will be certainly an interesting free agency. But he's made it an interesting trade deadline, and I think he is the number one player on the trade deadline.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, right?
I think he cut off there and forgot to say ever. I do got to give credit to Kyle for saying that last week. I stole Kyle's line, but
right. I'm shocked that it's that low that he thinks it's only 25%. I mean, like you just said, you've won two of your last 10. You're not
two games under 500. It's tougher, obviously. I mean, their division versus what we watch in the NL Central is night and day, chasing the Rangers and the Astros.
I totally agree. You have to get rid of Shohei Ohtani. You are not re-signing him. I can't imagine that he's re-signing with the Angels. Why would he? I mean, I understand that there's loyalty, and I would hope that Ohtani would have some loyalty to that organization. But when he's looked at his entire career, and then all he has to do is look at maybe the best baseball player ever and his entire baseball career and say, well, we haven't figured this out in 13 years. What is going to make this all of a sudden change next season? So I just don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he's going and he's the best player. He wants to win a World Series, I would assume. I mean, they all do, right? But especially when you're the best out there, he's not going to stay with the Angels. I just am
so... get him like naming rights at Disneyland or something like that. But
like,
I mean,
they already did that to Pujols, I think. Didn't they give him like every possible like freeways are named after him? And no, I just, and whatever happened to that?
Like, yeah, he was supposed to have a post career. Yeah. I think he still has some of that, or the obligations for appearances and that kind of stuff, unless they settled on that. And
maybe they did. Maybe Pujols didn't have
didn't have the lasting Angels legacy.
No. Because I thought that last year when the Cardinals signed him. I'm like, well, how is this even possible? I thought he was owned forever by the Angels or something. But I don't know. Boy, the Angels.
It's interesting, the last two teams. Go ahead.
Imagine being Kyle's son and looking at a list of Hall of Famers and some of the greatest players in the world or that have ever played baseball and seeing Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Albert Pujols, and then Kyle's saying, and guess what, kids? They never won a playoff game. And they had those three guys. I mean, so if you didn't know the backstory of any of that, and you're just 50 years from now looking at the best players that ever played the game, and you're like, wow, they were all with the Angels at the same time? Yeah, and didn't win a game in the playoffs.
That's unbelievable.
It's just crazy.
Because we hear about, like, Mantle and Gehrig and Ruth, and, like, they won a like bunch 10. Of World Series. Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. The old 27 Bronx Bombers. Was it 27? That seems like a long time.
That's a long time ago. Mike Trout is owed $284 million through 2030, not including the rest of this year. How much is that per year?
Those about don't... $35 million a year.
I'm in.
It's a lot of money, but yeah, I'd be down.
I'm in. Well, we can talk about it next hour.
All right, yeah, we'll talk more about that. And also, I want to hit on the two teams that he says they're on the back end, the Giants and the Padres. Interesting. There is another spot that's been highly projected for Shohei Ohtani. We can talk more about Shohei and anything else you guys want to hit on the text line, 217-359-2255. We'll be back. This is The Drive.